Hello, Croft.
Good morning. How are we?
Yeah, we're not too bad, thanks, mate. And big news in AFL in regards to this camp, which has been in the news, it feels like, for 4.5 years. Yeah. And doesn't obviously get a lot of airtime here in Sydney, but this camp at Adelaide, what it was post their 2017 grand final defeat in that next pre-season. And Eddie Betts has detailed what some weird and racially insensitive occurrences in his new book, I believe, which has attracted significant fallout.
Yeah, and mainly because the media, and it was all sort of covered over a fair bit because we heard rumblings of a lot of players for a while. I think the AFL investigated and then the Players Association said, oh, not much was happening there. But then Eddie's book, I think it comes out today, sort of goes through in detail what went on. And it's quite interesting because apparently, you know, some of the players gave up private and confidential information before the camp. And then that was used when they were tied up and blindfolded and pushed to their limits and mentally, you know, to see how much they could take and tolerate. And it broke them. And it broke some of the players, especially, you know, someone like Eddie Betts, who just couldn't believe some of the information that was being said right in front of him, but also in front of his teammates. And a lot of them wouldn't have known, you know, a lot of that information as well. So it's an interesting one because Don Pike at the time, you know, he's a ripper. He's a great coach. But the thing is, when you trust someone to go, okay, I'll take the camp, and you trust different organisations and so forth, you're sort of in their hands. They're the professionals. So you sort of trust that they can bring out the best. But it ended up being a bit of a disaster.
Yeah, it's one of these ones where I'm sure the AFL would like it to sort of go away, but it's just sort of bubbling now to the top of the surface again, and it's been, you know, 4 years. I just wonder where it sort of goes to from now.
Well, it's not going to go anywhere, but I think, if anything, you can learn from that. You've got to get on top of it and deal with it, you know, right from day one. And you feel for the Adelaide management because they're all new. They're all new people running the football club, yet they've got to sort of front and show that, listen, you know, we are not going to accept what has gone on, but, you know, we were the ones that weren't in charge of the club at the time. So it's very interesting. I reckon, remember my first camp when I went to Hawthorn, a young kid from Finlay in the bush. All of a sudden, we were chucked on buses and we were taken to Puckapunyal Army Camp. And they said, as soon as you get off, you're a part of the Australian Army. So they got, we had outfits, we had guns. We're running around with guns. Can you believe that?
Oh, wow.
For 2 days, I'm running around with this big gun. I didn't know. I used to shoot a slug gun back in Finlay. That's about it. And water's weak. Can't drink water. Water's weak.
Oh, I'd love that one.
Mentality back then. And so, yeah, camps are really important. But I always found, and I reckon you would agree with this, Laurie, the most we could get out of our teammates and the best way to connect and come together and move forward was on a footy trip where everyone had a few beers and we just got to be ourselves and let them steam off. That was the best way. And I think they still should do that at the start of the year.
Croft, you know, I reckon you're 100% right, mate.
And mix and mingle with them.
And it's the same when you're sort of going through a bit of a tough time during the season, isn't it? You can try and get away and do all sorts of things, but the one thing you know where you can have open and honest dialogue is if you sit in a room and have a couple of beers together.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, when it's manufactured, when you know, oh, they're trying to get us to be closer and so forth, it sort of it rips the fabric a bit. But when it just happens naturally or when you're in environments where you sort of come together, you know, that's when you get the best out of it. And we, unfortunately, when you have footy trips, you go away and you go to Vegas and you have the time of your life, you come back and half those players have been delisted. So they're no longer a part of the club, even though you've bonded so close. So I think there's something in that from the very start.
Yeah, I reckon you're right there. What about the Battle of the Bridge last weekend? The Swans were very, very good. Where are the Swans at? And what about poor GWS, mate?
The Swans are very good and we've liked them all year. You know, they've had patches, but they've got such a young group coming through, but they've got a good blend of older players as well. And Yeah, I think a few people are a bit scared of what the Swans could do in September because they do have a lot of run. They have the young players who do take their game on and really back themselves. So they're definitely top four material. You know, it wouldn't surprise anyone, you know, if they could be a part of a grand final with their improvement over the last few years. So that wouldn't surprise. And the Giants, very disappointing. I know Mark McVay was, you know, scathing just on, you know, some players have just chipped out or signed off for the year and, you know, are looking at whether or not they hang around for next year or do they take the money and move on to somewhere else. So it's always a bit of a battle when you've got a side that's battling away. Players go into survival mode and try and sort of protect their own little patch and it just spirals out of control. So yeah, they've got a bit of work to try and be competitive for the rest of the year and then they've got to work out what they're going to do, especially from a coaching point of view.
Well, you mentioned the coaching point of view. It sort of died down over the last week, the Alistair Clarkson talk about him going to a club. Do you think he will coach next season or do you think he'll sit out another year and wait for another opportunity at another club?
No, I think he's very conscious of sitting out for too long. You know, I think he's very refreshed. He's kept himself well-educated. He's tried to learn more from a coaching point of view, obviously heading overseas. And he's met with the Giants three times. There's obviously some strong interest there. And he's had a pretty casual conversation with North Melbourne, but they're going to have a more formal conversation moving forward. So I think North Melbourne are the favourites to get him. I think he's going to love the challenge. I think he's obviously having a look at the lists, but I think behind the scenes, he's got his team ready to go from a coaching point of view and a performance point of view. But he's also been working the football managers, apparently. So he's made sure that a lot of players that are coming out of contract or looking for a new direction, that, so something that probably hasn't happened in the past with coaches in that situation. They're more about just getting the job and then they sort of go to work. He's done the work behind the scenes with making sure wherever he goes, he's taken some of that talent. So I think North Melbourne would be amazing for him because they need someone like him with his energy and direction. And, you know, it won't happen straight away, but knowing what he's like, he's an angry little man. He'll get them firing eventually, and I think that'd be great for footy. A
couple of big retirement announcements out west. David Mundy at Fremantle and Josh Kennedy at the West Coast Eagles, and I believe he's finishing up straight away this weekend.
Yeah, unbelievable with David Mundy. You know, with the consistency that he's played for so long through the middle of the ground too, so a running position. And Josh Kennedy, well, he's kicked 715 goals throughout his career. He was a part of that famous swap when Chris Judd came that he went back to Perth. And, you know, who won out of that? Well, you'd have to say West Coast, really, because, you know, Josh Kennedy ended up playing way more footy. And, you know, he was one of the key forwards for a long time. And I can remember when he was the number one forward in town, he had this real stutter step, a bit like Fred Flintstone used to start his car. And then the AFL had to go to him and say, listen, can you please change your technique? Because at Auskick, all the young kids were copying his technique, which wasn't the sort of the technique that they really wanted kids to be doing because it was a little bit flawed and very different. But he's been a wonderful warrior and, certainly going to be missed.
Croft, can the Lions win the comp? I was just seeing their performance last weekend. I think they were 42 points in front of the Tigers there at one stage and the Tigers ran them down. But their record at the MCG is not great.
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone's saying, oh, they can't play the MCG. But I'm like, if you pose that question at halftime against Richmond last week, you go, well, hang on, that's no longer hovering. And I think they just switched off a bit and the Tigers, you know, just have more to play for at the moment because they're just trying to hang in to be a part of the finals. I still think they can. I think Geelong deserve to be favourites right now. They've had a wonderful patch of footy and playing a really good style of footy. They're moving the ball nice and quick and, you know, they deserve to be favourites. I still like Melbourne even though they've had a bit of a rough patch, I saw a great deal last week against a very good opposition in Fremantle. I just saw that the Demons are back and have really just started to switch on. Some people have written them off. I wouldn't write them off. They need a few more midfielders to lift. They need to share the responsibility because McCluggage and Lachie Neal are probably shouldering too much through the midfield. But I wouldn't write them off. And, you know, I suppose Geelong are still question marks because they have faltered in the finals over the last few years. And are they playing their best footy right now? You know, which is obviously not what you want to do. So there's a lot of those questions. I think Brisbane is still a chance. I think Melbourne, I think the Cats. And, you know, I thought Carlton for a little bit, but they get a bit of a worry at times. But, you know, maybe it's the Swans. Maybe it's the emergence of the young Swans, a bit like the Baby Bombers way back in the early 90s when they came from nowhere. Maybe the Swans are a Baby Bombers version. So look out.
Croft, thanks so much, mate.
No worries. See ya. Bye-bye.